our Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. How grateful we are to be called your children. How grateful we are to know that you have blessed us again with another opportunity to lift up your name, to remember you, to remember your works. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we ask that you will give us your presence. Lord, we ask that you will help us and that you will guide us. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that even on our worst day, we are better off with you, Lord. And so, Lord, through it all, we rather have you, Jesus, to the glory of God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know with you we are guaranteed the truth, for you are the truth. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God tells us that while we were yet sinners, you came and died for us because love was commanded. Love was demonstrated. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to love you as you want us to love you. Help us to love one another as you want us to love one another. And bless us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to run this race with patience. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We need your help. We cannot do it on our own. We need your help. And we thank you, Lord, for your direction. Bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this new series, we just finished a small series, and pleasing God through obedience. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17 was read before us already. But I like to read that 14th verse that says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" Start another mini series on God is at work, part one. God is at work, part one. What are some of the reasons you might consider fasting? How important is fasting, especially in today's time? Should the church practice and promote fasting more? What is the purpose of fasting? Does fasting seem to be out of place? Or is it out of step with the times, as Richard Foster mentions? Does everyone need three meals a day? Do we live in a country where we value food all the time? These are some of the questions that we have been raised, that have been raised over the months, over the years, in thinking about fasting. These are some of the questions that have been raised. And so let us see how they can be answered. Prior to this issue about fasting, Jesus is at Matthew's house as a special guest. Matthew is celebrating the fact that although he was known as a tax collector and one who was also considered a sinful man, still in all, Jesus extended to him an invitation to be one of his disciples. And in turn, Matthew invited Jesus to come to his house and sit at his table, which shows for the most part equality and fellowship. So here it is. Jesus is at Matthew's house eating, and now some of Matthew's friends come by to join with Matthew and Jesus. Who were Matthew's friends? Why, of course, publicans and sinners. Who else would be Matthew's friends? Who else would Matthew hang with? Let's not forget, Matthew's profession was about cheating people. He was a tax collector, collecting more tax than he was supposed to, because that is what tax collectors were accused of doing. There were those who wanted to know, why wasn't Jesus' disciples fasting? Maybe that was not the original issue. Maybe the question came up because Jesus chose to have dinner with a tax collector, publicans, and sinners. That did it. John's disciples just had to question Jesus and ask, we want to know why your disciples aren't fasting. Mark, in his account, was not John's disciples alone. John's disciples were not alone. But John's disciples asked the question along with the Pharisees, according to Mark's gospel. He says that they came together and they asked Jesus, why aren't your disciples fasting? Why were John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees together? It doesn't make sense. Here is the one that when John was baptizing people, he called the Pharisees vipers, snakes, if you will. So how is it that they come together now to ask Jesus this question? Why aren't your disciples fasting? Why are John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees together coming to Jesus? Well, at least they wanted to know. Therefore, they went to Jesus for the answer to their question, because some people would just whisper and start confusion based upon what they think or how they feel about the matter. But I'm glad that they went to Jesus and not around him.
Amen.
I give them credit because they wanted to know from Jesus, why weren't his disciples fasting? Perhaps they knew that Jesus fasted. At least John's disciples may have been told that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights fasting. But what did the Pharisees know about Jesus? John's disciples did not accuse Jesus being against fasting, but they questioned the lack of participation concerning his disciples. Can take it from Matthew's view and believe that when the Pharisees questioned Jesus, it was to trap him. But when John the Baptist's disciples questioned Jesus, it was sincere, and they truly wanted to know why. Even John the Baptist told his disciples that a connection with a forward ministry is about following Jesus, because John the Baptist's ministry was coming to an end. You remember what John the Apostle wrote in chapter 3 and verse 30? He said that John the Baptist was making it known to all that as the forerunner to Jesus, he must decrease while Jesus increase. He was saying that my ministry will come to an end when the Messiah comes on the scene. And so therefore, John the Baptist told his disciples about the power and the purpose of Jesus. That he says, I'm the forerunner, but the one who's coming is all powerful. And so here the question is still about, why isn't Jesus' disciples fasting? We all know that many of John's disciples remained with John, and some did move and some did not move to the level where John preached about concerning baptism for a long time. The difference being was John the Baptist baptized with water unto repentance at the highest level at that time. But the one who was coming that John preached about, meaning Jesus, were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so therefore, John the Baptist actually told his disciples that he is really the one to follow. And it was only a few that left John the Baptist and followed Jesus. Only a couple, only a few. But the rest of them stayed. And they stayed with the water baptism instead of getting deeper and growing and being hooked into Christ and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we find in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2 that there were some of John's disciples years later who never heard of the Holy Ghost, never heard of the Holy Spirit, because they were still with the water baptism as the final note. But Jesus was on the scene. And John the Baptist says, the one who's coming, I don't even have the authority to untie his shoes. And so therefore, who you are following now is okay, but there has to be a transformation. There has to be a movement to move forward instead of staying here. You cannot stay here. You cannot be challenged and win without the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, I'm starting this, but it must be continued by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest facts we must always understand is God is at work. God is at work. The one who never sleeps nor slumbers is always at work. God is at work. The one who sits high and looks low is at work. He's always at work. The one who we could call on day and night is always at work. God is not one to doze off or to take a snooze, because he's always at work. You could call him at any time and you can get an answer from God, even if you don't hear the answer. Believe it anyway that the answer is there. We cannot move to a new level unless we are blessed to do so by God, who is always at work. So here we are. John's disciples wanted to know, why aren't Jesus' disciples fasting and being very religious? It is here that Jesus gives three illustrations, three practical reasons why his disciples are not fasting as others are according to the law. In verse 15, Jesus talks about the purpose and meaning of the bridegroom. In verse 16, Jesus talks about the weakness of the old garment and the strength of the new. In verse 17, it is almost like verse 16, but 17 does not deal with cloth. Instead, it deals with liquid. It deals with wine and wine skins. And before we can explore these three points in the weeks to come, we must deal with the fasting issue first, which is a thread that comes all through here. So next week, we'll talk about the bridegroom by the grace of God. Amen. God is at work, and he proves it over and over and over again. And some of you can testify to that, that God is at work. Some of you can testify that God has been in your corner. Some of you can testify that God has been on your side. Some of you can testify that God is always opening doors when he needs to and closing doors when he needs to. He is always on the throne. He is always intimate. He's always intimate. He's always nearby. That's the reason why David could say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because he was in trouble, but he could still say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because he knows that God is one, and God proves it over and over and over again. I know somebody can testify that he proves that he's at work over and over and over again, even when we're not all that good, even when we're not all still at work. And I thank God that he's still at work, because if I was to go on my own records, I wouldn't make it into heaven. But because of his grace and his mercy, hallelujah. I know I have a witness here. I know I have a witness that over and over and over, I don't care what the situation is, there is a merciful God. There is a forgiving God. There is a restoring God that says, I will come to your aid. Should not fast only when we want to fast. We cannot say, well, I don't feel like fasting today. But fasting is a covenant. Therefore, Jesus says, when you fast, this is how you do it. When you fast, this is how you do it. And so he gives us that insight. But let me say this, that I like what Richard Foster says. He says, fasting must forever center on God. It must be initiated and ordained. It must be God initiated and God ordained. That's why it's not up to us whether we have a yes or a no in the matter. If God said it, we must do it. God understands our physical conditions. He understands that if somebody's on medication, that they may not be able to do a fast like that or that. But you know what? The thing about it is that God not only understands, but he has us to run to our own pace. The pace that we can run. It's not how long so-and-so fast. If they did it, I know I can do it. No, it's not that. It's about if they did it, God will let me to do what I can do. It's not about who can do and who can't do. It's about what God has blessed me to do. And if he blessed me to fast my lunch period, and that's all I can do, I'm going to make that lunch period a great lunch period. And I'm going to feast on prayer. I'm going to feast on the word. I'm going to feast on the promises of God. I'm going to feast on the blessings of God. Hallelujah. I may not be able to fast all day, but if I could take out some time and God gives me the strength, I will fast. God lifts a veil. He lifts the veil so others can see the beauty of the Lord in us. Like Esther. When Esther and the others got together and they said, Esther, you know something? If you don't go to see the king for us, don't think that because you are in a king's house that you're safe. As a matter of fact, you may be the first to get it. You may be the first to be persecuted. You may be the first to be destroyed, if you will. But here, what happened was that Mordecai said to Esther, we need for you to go and see the king. And who knows, maybe you have come to this point for such a time as this. So Esther, spending covenant time with the Lord in prayers and fasting, because this happened to be her style when she went. She says, you fast for 3 days, and me and my maidens, we will fast for 3 days. And on that third third day, if you will, she went in to see the king. Don't forget, the king, she said, if I go to see the king, it's not 30 days yet. He may take my life, but if I perish, I'll perish. But I'm going to see the king. And so therefore, here it is where the Lord blessed her with a divine favor. Something happens when we are obedient to God. Something happens, even though she wore the royal clothes and the royal colors, what really mattered was through prayer and fasting conducted by the Lord, Esther was highly blessed. Esther was highly favored because you know why? She fasted by the leading of the Lord. So when she got up from prayers and fasting, there was a whole change that when the king saw her, he couldn't contain himself. He saw a beautiful woman. But more than that, he had to feel the presence of God. You cannot kill anyone when the presence of God is there. If you don't believe me, you just try praying. And I don't care how much you are surrounded by. If it's God's will for you to live, you're going to live. I don't care if there's 1,000 at your right hand and 10,000 at your left. You're going to live. God will change somebody's mind. God will change somebody's direction. God will change somebody would-be killer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because what God has for us, no one can take away. If God be for you, who can be against you? That's the reason why Paul said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a strong witness. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. She went in to see the king. She was supposed to die. But God allowed for her to live. Why? Because she was led by God to fast and to pray and to seek the Lord. I tell you the truth, if you want what God has for us, hallelujah, oh, talk to God, see God, be led by God. I don't care what it is, no knowledge can be over prayer, no earthly wisdom can be over prayer, because prayer belongs to God. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. Esther's veil was lifted by God, and all the king could see was beauty before him. Esther, come on, and stuck out the sepulcher, and Esther touched it. Hallelujah. What do you want? I'll give you everything up to half. Well, we heard about that in the New Testament. That's how John the Baptist got in prison. But here in the Old Testament, it comes from the direction of a godly woman, and she says, I want you to just have a dinner with a couple of people. Well, when we do it the Lord's way, we can see God at work. When we fast for the glory of God, we can see God at work. Oh, when we do it the Lord's way, when we do it God's way, when we do it because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is leading us to do it. Hallelujah. God opens doors that no one can shut. Well, I'll tell you that God is able. I said he's able. I said he's able to make the difference. He's able. I don't care if your life has been a dump. God can restore you. God can renew you. I'm a witness. God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me and somebody fasted for me. Whoa, what about you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've committed unto him against that day. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Oh, I know that God is able. I said he's able. I said he's able. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? He's able. Yes, he is. He's able in the morning. He's able in the noontime. He's able when the sun goes down. If we are obedient,
preacher. To him, he will lead us and guide us and take us. Because as the songwriter says, since Jesus came into my heart, yes, floods of joy on my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus.
Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.